from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today, Travis will have lots of jazzy interviews.
That's right. I'll get a preview of Jazz Week at University of Indianapolis, chat with saxophonist Sophie Fott about her new release, and find out about some jazzy food and dance pairings that Modus Dance has planned. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What do we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Jazz Week is coming to the University of Indianapolis next week. This annual celebration brings local and national musicians to the campus and features student performers as well. Travis DiNicola spoke with the new director of the U of I Jazz Studies program, Freddie Mendoza, about the festival.
Freddie, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And welcome to Indianapolis. I know you haven't even quite been here a full year. Great to have you and at University of Indianapolis in your position heading up their jazz studies program. That's a pretty cool gig.
Yeah, you know, I was really happy to get the job here in Indianapolis. I have a lot of friends that I played with in Austin, Texas, that mm-hmm. are from Indianapolis, native residents, natives of Indiana, and they all spoke very highly of the city and the jazz scene and the history.
We do. We have a great history and a couple of great clubs in town, of course, you know, Jazz Kitchen and Chatterbox, and a great history of the Indiana Avenue and some amazing musicians in town.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this. Tell me a little bit about your career pre-Indianapolis. We'll be talking about the Jazz Week at University of Indianapolis in just a moment, but you're mainly a trumpeter, right?
Trombone player.
Trombone. I apologize. Trombone.
That's all right.
You are mainly a trombone player. Take two. and from Texas, and lots of work out there. Lots of bands I know that you've played with, and lots of recordings, and lots of work.
Yeah. I mean, Austin, Texas is a huge music scene. In fact, they're in their giant international festival going on right now, South by Southwest. Actually, I think it just finished
yeah.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so... I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas,
okay.
and moved up the street to Austin to attend the University of Texas at Austin
mm-hmm.
and got a jazz performance degree there. And as I was finishing school, my undergraduate, I started working professionally on the scene in Austin, Texas. And, you know, there was a lot of studio work, a lot of recording, a lot of playing. Right around that time, there was a huge revival of the swing scene
sure.
with, you know, Harry Connick Jr. was just kind of becoming famous when mm-hmm. Harry Met Sally soundtrack had just come out. And it sort of spurred a sort of renaissance of swing music
mm-hmm.
From the big band era and swing dancing, which, you know, there's a very healthy, vibrant swing scene here in
mm-hmm.
Indianapolis. And I know they get together at the Fountain Square Ballroom.
Right.
Every other Friday, there's a band, and, you know, there's hundreds of young people dancing out there. So, you know, I got a chance to tour the United States
mm-hmm.
with a swing band and record a bunch of albums and just work professionally through the 90s and into the 21st century. And then the opportunity came to be an interim director of jazz studies at Texas State University.
Mm-hmm.
And that one-year contract turned into a 12-year job and career
mm-hmm.
there. And in the meantime, I picked up my master's degree and began work on my doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after about 12 years of that, the position remained an adjunct position. And I was kind of wanting to get out and maybe get into something a little more permanent and, you know, stable, I guess
yeah.
you could say. And I saw the posting for the job at the University of Indianapolis.
Right.
So,
and the program there has a great reputation. I mean, Harry
yeah.
Medema, you know, founded that and did a fantastic job. A lot of great musicians have gone through that program.
Absolutely. Well, I was fortunate enough to get called up for an interview. And, you know, when I was here, that's when I really got to understand sort of the depth of the program mm-hmm. and the things they do, the Jazz Artist Series in the fall and spring semesters, as well as the Jazz Week mm-hmm. and different artists that have come through and the kind of support that the University of Indianapolis gives to jazz music yeah. specifically and of course, their radio station as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was very appealing. And then,
now, is swing mainly your thing? Is that your main style, or do you play a lot of other things?
Yeah, well, you know, when you're a horn player, yeah. you know, you tend to make your living playing with multiple bands. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
whoever calls up.
Exactly. And I've spent a lot of time playing salsa, mm-hmm. and I've spent a lot of time playing in cover bands and mm-hmm. rock bands and things of that nature. I guess my wheelhouse pretty much is straight-ahead jazz.
Okay.
So, you know, that's where I'm most comfortable, but not very many people will make an actual living just playing that style of music. You know,
sure.
you do a lot of social, casual gigs and, you know, recording, mm-hmm. you know, stuff. And so, but yeah, I would say, you know, when I'm called on for my own quartet, mm-hmm. that's pretty much what we do.
I'm curious, were you a fan of the series Tremé? At all? Because the trombone was really featured in that quite a lot.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw it a little bit, you mm-hmm. know. Getting a doctoral degree, doing a jazz program, you know, unfortunately, you don't have a lot
busy.
Of time.
Yeah.
it's pretty crazy.
Well, some good stuff on there, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, so the Jazz Week. So this is your first time here for Jazz Week. And a lot of great concerts kicking off on Monday the 6th. This is the 8th annual Jazz Week that University of Indianapolis has done. All the concerts are in the Ruth Lilly Performance Hall at the Crystal DeHaan Fine Arts Center, of course, down at University of Indianapolis. Some are free, some have admission. All of them are awesome. Tell me a bit about what people have to look forward to coming up.
Well, you know, we start off the week with our own groups. The first night, Monday night, is the Jazz Combo.
Mm-hmm.
And we feature, it's a six-piece combo. And
these are students on that first night,
These
right?
are all students, mm-hmm. yes. And we are going to be joined by one of our brand new adjunct faculty, Jen Sukula. She's a trumpet player that's finishing up her doctorate at Ball State, but she also mm-hmm. teaches the Intro to Jazz course at the university. So she's going to join us on trumpet, but we also feature an outstanding vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. We're playing some straight ahead stuff. And then the second night is what has been, I guess, about a 3-year tradition now that Harry started, where we play basically a big band dance.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, come on out. We're going to be playing the original charts from the 1940s big band era.
Fun.
I'm sure many charts people recognize, In the Mood and mm-hmm. 1 o'clock Jump, April in Paris, Ring of Pearls, those types of
And will
charts.
There be some dancing for that?
There will be dancing for Excellent. That. You know, we push the band all the way back to the back of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this year we're going to try something a little different. We're going to set up in a traditional, what they used to call the flying V formation, where
yeah.
the band is spread out in the shape of a flattened out V,
mm-hmm.
which will, you know, make the footprint of the band much smaller.
Yeah, give a little bit more room on the stage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's a nice wooden floor, mm-hmm. so it's perfect for dancing. And we'll play for about an hour and a half or so and probably
cool.
play about 20, 25 charts. Kids are dutifully preparing that right now. It's a lot of music to learn
mm-hmm.
in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, those first two nights, the Monday with the Jazz Combo and the second night, those are both free admission.
Absolutely.
And both those shows are at 7:30. Wednesday night, Steve Ali, great hometown favorite.
Yeah, you know, he's a fixture in Indianapolis for
oh, yeah.
sure. And that was something that I became aware of even before I moved here. And we've gotten a chance to play together several times. I gave a recital with Steve Ali and Steve Houghton and local bassist and UND grad Nick Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And
phenomenal player.
Absolutely. And he's actually performing with all of the groups except the Monday-Tuesday night group
okay.
during the week. So you can catch him. But the Wednesday night, he's going to be doing solo piano.
Nice. Okay.
And we're looking forward to that. And then he joins Mark Buscelli and Danny Walsh on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
He joins Tim Horner on Friday. And he's a member of the Rufus Reed Trio as well. So you'll get to see him one last time on Saturday night.
Rufus Reed, that's going to be a great way to close out the week. Fun, fun show. That's going to be on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Rufus Reed is you know, he's an international figure. He's as big in performance as he is in music education.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who know Indiana resident Jamie Abersol, who's, you know, one of the seminal figures in jazz education in the United States, he's the bass player on many of the play-along records that Abersol has put out.
Very cool. You mentioned Tim Horner, great drummer. He's going to be there on Friday night.
Yes, absolutely. He's coming out, and guitarist Dave Stryker is joining him.
Okay.
And that should be a fantastic show.
Cool. So, and one thing that I love about what you guys are doing, even the ones that have admission, they're free for University of Indianapolis students with college ID and all that. And I mean, obviously, I mean, this is a big festival for the university and for your students and for the students who are not musicians, just to come out and have a great week. But, you know, it's a gem. You got to get more people down there from, you know, from outside the university, right?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that my wife and I noticed right away when we got to town was that there are really no venues for students and people who are not of age to go see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not 21, you can't get into the Chatterbox. You
right.
can't get into the Jazz Kitchen. You can't, well, I'm not sure about Slippery Noodle.
No.
I don't think so.
Nope.
Yeah. And, you know, so all these clubs are 21 and over.
Yep.
And high school students, even college-age students, have trouble going to see great live music. And and this is something, actually, I'm collecting data at some local universities for my dissertation, and I've spoken with local college students from other universities, and they said that one of the main things they look forward to every year is being able to go to UND Jazz Week and see
cool.
great artists.
Yeah, and so you get a lot of college students from other universities as well coming down.
We do.
That's great.
And I know that there are people from Bloomington that come in for this. And, you know, we would love to see the appeal grow throughout the state of Indiana.
Sure.
Of course, it's in April. That's a nice thing. So it's not in January, February. You don't have to brave the snow, hopefully.
Right. Keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
On that one, yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you mentioned some great jazz clubs, and that's a big part of jazz is, you know, being able to see jazz in a club. But, you know, it's an opportunity that's not there for younger, you know, audiences and younger musicians as well.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And this is a really important thing, I think, for, you know, your students to be able to, you know, not just hear some great stuff, but, you know, play and perform and be seen by their peers.
Yeah, and I mean, particularly for our own students, you know. I mean, everyone at the university, regardless of your major, is required to attend fine arts performances, and they all have to have so many credits from going to see live music, and this is a fantastic chance for them to not only pick up that credit, but also to see some world-class musicians.
Excellent. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit before we wrap things up. Freddie, when can we get to see you play? I hear you got, you've been playing down at the Chatterbox?
I do, yeah. I mean, I you can catch me usually once a month at Bangkok Restaurant and Jazz, which is a really intimate venue. It's usually
cool
a duo.
Place right downtown, yeah.
Yeah, great food. And then I have a quartet with local guitarist Ryan Taylor, who's, you know, phenomenal young guitarist in town and some of the best musicians around. Stephen Jones, who is regular, you know, can be regularly seen with Rob Dixon and Jared Michael, is also in the quartet, as well as Cassius Gones III, who is the new recent hire at Ball State University on drums. He's the drum prof there now, jazz drum instructor. And so we have a quartet. We play the first Fridays at the Chatterbox.
Nice.
And that's been going, I think, since November. We started in November. And hopefully we'll continue. You know, the Chatterbox is, you know, it's a well-known club outside of Indianapolis and Indiana. And, you know, you got to love a club that has live music seven
nights a week
and features jazz and really highlights the best of the local talent in the area. There's a club in Austin, Texas that, I mean, it's almost identical to the Chatterbox called the Elephant Room. And even down to exactly the same candles, the dollar bills on the wall, the graffiti, the, you know, everything, the shape of the club.
The patina on the walls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you know, the lighting structure. It's a true jazz club, yeah. You know. And I really had a great time playing at the Chatterbox and going to see great local artists. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely. Good. Well, Freddie, it's awesome to meet you, and so glad you're here in Indianapolis, and it sounds like Jazz Week is going to be a great one this year, and thanks again for coming into Art of the Matter.
Well, it's an honor, and I truly appreciate the opportunity.
Travis DiNicola with the new director of the University of Indianapolis Jazz Studies Program, Freddie Mendoza. Jazz Week at the University of Indianapolis takes place from April 6th through the 11th. For more information, visit uindy.edu/arts. Again, uindy.edu/arts. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. Jazz saxophonist Sophie Fought was on The Art of the Matter about a year ago with painter Stephen Sickles to talk about a group of new jazz compositions she was creating with her trio that were inspired by Sickles' paintings. Now Sophie and her band, including Nick Tucker on bass and Ben Lumsdaine on drums, have recorded this music for a new album titled Three Muses. Travis DiNicola talked with Sophie and with Stephen about the work.
Sophie, Stephen, welcome back to Art of the Matter. It's great to see you again.
Good to see you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
Do you realize it was almost exactly a year ago?
I do, and it's freaky.
You two were on and talking about the concert that you were going to be doing, which I know was really cool. And the concert was debuting the music and the paintings that the two of you have been working on. And now you've got an album release. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a long time coming.
These things take a while.
Not really.
but good things come for those who wait. So here
Absolutely.
We are.
Hey, well, let's go back and remind our listeners what it was that the two of you were working on. Sophie as a musician, Stephen as a painter, with this project of combining ideas and visions and music and paintings.
Yeah, well, we as a band were very inspired by Stephen's paintings, and specifically we perceived them in a sonic way. When we saw them, it made us want to play music and write music, and so I came up with the idea of actually writing music with the intention of creating an album of original compositions, each mm-hmm. one inspired by a painting of Stephen's. And we wanted to do a vinyl release because, you know, we feel that vinyl is a very tactile and visual medium, too, for music because of mm-hmm. the tradition of album art and also just, you know, visually seeing that record spin on the turntable and hearing the music come out of it. So all of those elements were part of the vision that we had over a year ago, and now it's finally time for us to realize it, and it's here. It's real.
It is coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the physical album in just a minute and the prints that go with it, which are gorgeous. Stephen, tell me a little bit again about your experience in doing this. I mean, these are paintings that you created, well, it's been over a year ago now, but as part of this project with Sophie, and now they're coming to a whole new light.
Yes, I had a small show at Indie Reads Books, where Sophie works, and she was impressed with them, and she wrote me an email one day saying, I have a project to discuss with you, and I thought maybe she was going to produce the CD and she'd like me to do the cover. So I decided it's something we should do in person. I went down to Indie Reads Books, and she presented me with this idea of doing an album based on 8 of my paintings,
mm-hmm.
and she asked me if I would mind, and I said, would anybody ever say no? So that's how it came about. It was just she liked my work, and so we started working together on this project. All I really did was stand still. Sophie did all the work. She chose the boys, and she came down over to my house and picked out some paintings that they thought they might like to compose.
Well, you created the paintings, which are pretty gorgeous.
Yes, and some of them are a little older, and mm-hmm. some are very recent, so it's kind of the over the span of, I guess, maybe 3 years' worth of work.
And these are all very colorful, abstract expressionist mm-hmm. work. Yes.
Which is kind of perfect because mm-hmm. Jackson Pollock and William de Kooning used to listen to jazz while they painted. Mm-hmm. So there's a tie in there when Sophie says that they're sonic. Mm-hmm. I think of them as being atmospheric, but it's really just a visual versus a audio shift in terms. It's the same thing.
And as you say, there's a great tradition there that you're following.
Yes, and in the 20s when jazz first appeared on the scene, painters were painting like crazy with this new wacky music they were hearing. Mm-hmm. And so Picasso and such were doing it then. So there's always been a free exchange between music and art, I think.
Now, the show that you guys did a year ago, you had the paintings on display and you were playing the music at that point. But now what you've done is you've taken that and you've made a package that people can take home with them, a collector's edition. So you mentioned that it's a vinyl record, a physical record, and then people can also download it digitally, right, if they want.
Yeah, so if you buy the deluxe vinyl package, which, by the way, we have only pressed 100 of these, mm-hmm. and that's all there's going to be,
okay.
You get the vinyl record, and you also get a digital download with two bonus tracks on it. You get 9 11 by 11 full-color double-sided prints of the inspirational
And
paintings.
This is the really cool – I mean, the music's awesome, Sophie. Don't get me wrong. But this is a really
sure
cool part that you're – you know, you're not just buying the album, but you're buying, you know, a limited edition set of prints of the paintings that inspire the music.
Exactly. And what we're really hoping – you know, we've thought this all through
mm-hmm.
To the level of, oh, should we bind them together or not? No, we've left them loose because we want people to spread these out on their living room floor and just really delve into it. Do what you want to do with these prints.
You could frame them.
You could frame them.
Just don't publish them.
Right. You can make them your own. And what we really want to offer people is an immersive experience where you have this music and you have these paintings and you, the listener, get to do what you want with this material. But we hope that you'll come to this world that we've created for a little while and have a good time while you're there.
Well, one thing that's also really cool about this is the package that it's in. The album cover has a die-cut hole on both sides, and so that allows you actually to not just see the vinyl record, but then you can pick and choose which of your favorite paintings, and whether it's the full painting or a detail of it, which image shows through that hole in the album sleeve. So everyone can kind of personalize it that way themselves as well.
Yeah, it's a window into that world that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. these prints. And so that was another reason why we chose not to bind the prints together, because we wanted you to be able to shuffle them into the order that appealed to you. And, you know, you can look through that window at Across the Universe, which is a beautiful, moody blue painting on glass. And then maybe a week later, you're feeling more yellow. You're feeling more cheerful. So mm-hmm. you might look through that window to Candle Ends, which is a really cheerful, vibrant painting that Stephen did. And, you know, it's just like, you know, this is said a lot, but it's not a cliche. Every time you listen to an album, it strikes you a little bit differently.
Of course.
It really depends on what you've lived and experienced from the last time you heard it. And mm-hmm. so this kind of reflects that reality, that this work will probably strike you differently over time. I know that it has me. And we wanted to share that as well with our listeners and viewers.
Now, the night that you're having your release party is going to be a very special night. You're going to have all the paintings on display. This is going to be at Indie Reads Books coming up on April 10th, Friday night. And, of course, the band will be playing all of the music from the album. So Ben and Nick will be there as well. So the three musicians plus Stephen, you'll be there. And
yes, of course.
That will be such a cool evening. I mean, bringing you all together again.
Yeah, we can't wait.
And Sophie, over the course of the past year, I guess, has played some of the tunes every time she performs.
Mm-hmm.
But here it will be like the full thing all come together. So all these little teases she's been leaving about town for a year are finally coming together in one place with all of us and the paintings. I am so impressed with this album. I really, it reminds me of my childhood when I used to get a new Beatles album
mm-hmm.
and I'd put it on and I'd thumb through all the pages and you can actually read, you know, the text, because on a CD it's so tiny and it's white on black and it's like, mm-hmm. I'm getting a little too old for that. So this is, it just reminds me of, it's so nostalgic and yet vibrantly new, and the music is terrific.
I have to say, there really is something about that that I miss. I mean, I love, you know, I remember going to the record store and, you know, getting that new album and getting that vinyl, but it was, you know, the artwork and inside and being able to, you know, if the lyrics were included or whatever, mm-hmm. I mean, was such a big part of it that now, you know, I mean, you know, no matter how good the CD art is, it's, you're right, it's small and it's hard mm-hmm. to really take in. That night is going to be an interesting evening too, Sophie, when you do the release of this, because even though you're kind of going very old school with the way you're doing this with vinyl, I know you're also really making an effort to appeal to a lot younger audience.
Yeah, well, there are so few places where young people can hear jazz. And I have to say that, you know, a lot of times when they can hear jazz, it's specifically an educational experience. So it's mm-hmm. in the school and it's almost like a lecture format, or it's, you know, it's marketed to them as, we want to teach you about this. Mm-hmm. And we just really wanted to offer this music up freely as just an event that any aged person could experience. Because when I think back to my childhood and, you know, what inspired me to want to pursue music as a career, it was those opportunities specifically where I went to a concert and I was no different from any other listener. I just got to hear that music and meet the musicians and see what was going on. And it was just really important to us that we make this an all-ages event for those reasons. We want young people to see this creative endeavor and to see that, you know, you can do your own thing with music, and you can achieve the vision that you have.
Do you think jazz suffers at times because of that sort of association that to hear it, you got to hear it live in a club, and most of the clubs, and we've got great clubs in town, you know, of course, Jazz Kitchen, Chatterbox, and others, that, you know, but they're 21 and over. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you know, a lot of opportunities to hear jazz live, you know, other than maybe, you know, Jazz Fest or things like that, most of them are going to be in an educational setting. I mean, that
that
affects the
so.
Audiences.
It absolutely does. I mean, it affects the performance of the musicians for sure, because mm-hmm. it's sort of a more sterilized environment, and suddenly, you know, there's almost this pressure on you, like, okay, we got to teach them something now. No, you don't. Just play the music and let them enjoy it. I think that it's very important for it to be a lower pressure thing. And, you know, when I was growing up, there were musicians like Harry Miedema and Claude Sifferlin and many others who, they just wanted to pass on this music to you, you mm-hmm. know. In fact, Claude always used to say, oh, I'm not a teacher. You can come to my house and play music if you want to, but it won't be a lesson. Okay, sure, Claude. But actually, I understand now why he did that, mm-hmm. because he just wanted to pass down the tradition and the music without there being this pressure of, oh, you need to practice this and you need to do that. He just wanted to say, I love this music and I want to give it to you. And that's exactly what we want to do, too, which is why Friday, April 10th, it's a free event at
that's
Indie
right. free,
Reads Books
free event
for, you know, the whole family. And
open to everyone.
It's open to everyone. And this is basically our gift to you. We have poured our heart and soul into this, and now we want to give it to everyone.
100 copies only, right?
Only 100.
I think they'll go fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if any of your listeners are interested, you can pre-order and reserve that copy at www.sophiefott.com/muses, and you save $10 when you pre-order. So,
excellent.
For the next 9 days.
Well, before I let you go, we're going to take a listen to one of the tracks off of this, and I'm very excited about that. It's actually the title, Three Muses. Can you both tell me briefly about the painting and the work?
Well, the painting came very quickly to me, mm-hmm. and it was a new technique I tried out. And basically, I applied the paint with wax paper onto a board. And when I pulled the wax paper off, I didn't intend it, but there were clearly three figures. And it was a very asymmetrical painting, and I just loved it. It looked like they were on their way somewhere. And I'm an abstract expressionist painter, so I don't paint images, mm-hmm. but sometimes you just can't help it. It just looked that way. So
three figures, three members of Sophie's band.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I try not to give people my interpretation of my work when I look at it.
Sure.
So I try to give titles to them that kind of cloud what I see. So I called that one Irregular Verbs. It's a line. Well, irregular verbs is a real grammatical term, but mm-hmm. there's a line in a Stephen Sondheim musical, The Night Music, where husband is trying to seduce his wife, and she's in the back dithering on, and she says she'd like to learn Italian, that is, if the verbs aren't too irregular. And so rather than calling it three-something, mm-hmm. I just called it irregular verbs because they're certainly irregular-looking figures, but they're clearly appear like figures. And then when Sophie decided to compose a piece and call it Three Muses, I thought it was perfect because it's a trio,
mm-hmm.
and there are three figures in it, and it just seemed ideal. I was so glad she chose that painting because it's one that I'm especially fond of.
Sophie?
Yeah, this was the very first song that I wrote for this collection, and it was also the one I labored over the most, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when I looked at this painting, I saw the three figures immediately, of course, but there was something about the color combinations that was very eerie, and it just had an angsty kind of nervous energy to it for me, and I did not think I wanted to meet those three figures or approach them in any way, and I really wanted to capture that kind of energy, and so what I wrote is actually really a blues, and it has three phrases in it, mm-hmm. and each one, and there's also a rhythmic figure that is based around the number three, and I just tried to fold in the number three as much as I possibly could for this tune. That was just sort of fun for my like geeky mathematical brain, I guess.
Well, as people listen to it, they can imagine what the image looks like, but just to help them a little bit, and then they can actually come see it, what are the main colors in this painting?
Well, it's largely, I would say, an apple green mm-hmm. Background. The figures themselves are splotches and splatters of red and black.
Mm-hmm.
But when Sophie said anxiety, it has an anxious kind of look to it. I think it's part of the asymmetry of it,
mm-hmm.
like they're moving off the plane. But one of the figures appears to be, please, I don't paint these, it just happened, appears to be looking back anxiously over her shoulders. And it's just so funny that you picked up on that. When Sophie came to the house, I would tell her the inspiration for my paintings and the titles, and she just ignored me. She went off because it's what it meant to her, and that's mm-hmm. what I want people to do. I don't want them to labor into my interpretation. I want them to develop their own.
And I think, to me, what struck me was that green is like a sickly post-apocalyptic green to me. Or that's what I thought. I was like, oh, it really looks like another world that I don't want to go to.
It does rather have that end of the world.
It does. It looks like they're the last three figures left standing on Earth.
Well, I know that people are going to really want to see this and hear it. Sophie, Stephen, thank you both so much for coming in to Art of the Matter. It was really a
pleasure.
Travis DiNicola with jazz musician Sophie Fott and painter Stephen Sickles. Their new album, Three Muses, will be released on Friday, April 10th at Indie Reads Books on Mass Ave from 8 to 11 p.m. It's an all-ages show, and you can get more information at sophiefaut.com/muses. That's sophiefaught.com/muses. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I heard a knock on the door a moment ago, and I opened it, and there was one of those Cadbury bunnies. And I told him that... Yeah, he needed to go get some more chocolate because he'd only brought one of those Cadbury.
Not nearly enough.
We're not going to split that between us. On a more serious note, happy Easter holiday to you. And we have some things that you can go out and do in the coming weeks to celebrate the arrival of spring and Easter and the rebirth in general.
Mm-hmm. On that calendar we call
What Do We Do?
A calendar for everybody.
A calendar for everybody. Or everybody.
Everybody. There you go. Hey, speaking of Easter Superhero, which is the dance piece about Easter and Jesus' story, is being performed by Gregory Hancock Dance Theater this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock at the Tarkington at the Center for the Performing Arts.
Fantastic. Don't forget, a festival coming up at Butler starting April 9th and running through the 19th. It's the Butler Arts Fest, third go-round for this. The theme this year is Outlaws and Outsiders. Among the bands and performances coming up, the Christian McBride Trio with the Butler Jazz Ensemble on April 11th. Carmina Burana, if you have only heard that on recordings, maybe you've heard Lolly play excerpts from it here on Friday night, you owe it to yourself to go out for a live performance. That's coming up Sunday, April 19th at the Schrott Center for the Arts with the assembled masses of Butler performers. Lots more going on as well. If you go to butlerartsfest.com or butlerartsfest.org, you can find out more.
Very cool. Hey, if you're looking for a road trip, I know we were talking about a lot of jazz this week on Art of the Matter. Well, 9-time Grammy Award winner Natalie Cole is headlining the Jazz Fest up at Valparaiso, and she is going to be performing an evening of Natalie Cole on April 11th as part of their 30th annual Jazz Fest. So, of course, Valpo is Northwest Indiana, and check out the Valparaiso campus and this great performance by Natalie Cole.
Fabulous. Hey, the Indiana Museum of Music and Entertainment, which goes by the acronym IMEM or IMEM, features Indiana's contributions to music, film, and broadcast history. It's a relatively new not-for-profit founded just last year, and they're launching a project to find and establish a permanent bricks-and-mortar location. The launch of the project is this Saturday from 6 to 10 at the Wheeler Arts Theater in Fountain Square. You can see a sample of some of the exhibits, enjoy live music from Clifford Ratliff and Friends, Tim Wright, and Karen Irwin. Admission is free, and you can find out lots more about the Indiana Museum of Music and Entertainment.
Well, Sharon, we have a lot of visitors in town this weekend for Final Four.
What? There's basketball?
Yes, there's that going on too. And there's some great concerts going on all weekend long down at the White River State Park, and they are free. And each day, come early because there'll be big crowds. Do not bring chairs because they will have chairs provided at the festival. But some great bands this weekend: Weezer, Imagine Dragons, a whole bunch of concerts. Basically, starting in the afternoon on Friday and going through Friday evening, and then starting around 2 o'clock on Saturday and going through Saturday evening, and then around 2:45 on Sunday each day. You can get the full schedule if you want at White River State Park or on the March Madness site for Music Fest.
And don't blame us if you snuck out from work early. You can learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis's Indie Arts Guide, and you can learn more on our calendar we call
What do we do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Each year, Modus Dance presents Pairings, an evening of modern dance choreographed with wine and food pairings. Travis DiNicola spoke with Modus's Heidi Keller Phillips to find out more.
Heidi, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Pairings is one of my favorite events
Mine too. And
every year. And it's a great event that Modus Dance does. Let's start with, before we talk about Pairings, because there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about that. Modus, you guys are an awesome modern dance company based here locally, been around for over 10 years.
Yeah.
What else? You got a new location, right? New studio?
We are moving to the East 10th Street area.
Mm-hmm.
We are initiative arts partners of the 10th Street Civic Association. So they have NEAR and the Legacy Foundation trying to revitalize the area. Right now we're sharing space, but we will have our own space by the end of the year.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're totally pumped.
I mean, you had been in Fountain Square for a long time, in kind of an old, very funky, very cool building that I know you loved.
Yes.
But that's kind of a big move, too, in terms of sort of the, in terms of sort of the culture of the organization?
I don't think it's a huge move for the culture of the organization. We still perform regularly in Fountain Square, so we're still connected to
You perform at White Rabbit a lot and other places.
Yeah, exactly. And we always take part in their community stuff. But it's exciting to be part of this East 10th Street initiative and to start getting positive traffic back in the area and be part of something cool like that.
So does that include any like specific outreach to people in the neighborhood, kids, adults? Or?
Yes, all of that. Right now, we are part of a shared space. So Metta Yoga, there's some birthing classes in that space and there's Brookside Dance Academy. So the youth is going to Brookside and we're taking care of the adults and getting dance fitness and that kind of stuff going on down there. And they always, the East 10th Street does a really, the Civic Association does a really good job of engaging the community regularly. So there's always something going on down there, fun stuff to be part of. So we're excited to be part of it.
So where exactly are you right now? Where is the location?
Clifford Corners is just east of Rural. Mm-hmm. So Pogue's Run Grocer
is right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that little green boutique.
Yeah.
Green Bean Boutique.
Mm-hmm.
So cute, the area. So yeah, we're going to be part of that whole community.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's a big move and it's going to be exciting for you guys to have your own space, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right on the main drag with a big sign in the window.
Awesome. Now, you are, as I said before, a modern dance company, which includes you offer classes as well as do performances.
Yep. Mostly for adults.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 and up. And it's dance-inspired fitness. We have Zumba and belly dancing and
some other fun stuff, too. Yeah,
yeah, cool stuff. And then our modern dance is a regular staple, and that will always be part of our mission and part of our culture and to promote that and pass it on to the next generation.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that you keep Modus going all these years has been through Pairings, which is a fundraiser, but also just a really awesome evening. Really fun. I mean, so basically Pairings is a mixing, a pairing of a series of dances that are paired with courses of meal and wine. And it's really evolved over the years. And this year it'll again be at the White Rabbit on April 10th. Tell me about, where do we start? Do we start with the dance or the food or the wine? Or where do
the wine is being donated by Republic National Distributing, and they are fantastic. Chef Adam Ditter of Bluebeard. Bluebeard donates food. Amelia's as well.
Awesome partners.
Our presenting sponsor is Indie Dance Academy, who has been so great about allowing us to use their studio spaces, their beautiful studio spaces on the north side. We've been able to supplement some of our rehearsal spaces. So that's been fantastic. And yeah, people have a hard time wrapping their head around the fact that they get six tastes of wine, six courses, small tastes of amazing plates by Chef Adam, and a dance to go with each one. We have worked so hard to complement our entertainment with our flavors.
That's the really fun part. You know, and I have to say, I've had some great conversations sitting there with my friend John Nolan as we have, you know, sampled the wine and sampled the food and watched the dance and tried really hard. Or sometimes it's been extremely easy to try to make the connection between why this dance with this food with this wine. And, yes. and that's always the fun part. But yes. I know, I mean, for you, you know.
Maybe we should have a competition this year and see which one, see which one nails it.
Which one gets it the closest, right?
You'll get a silent auction item.
I like that idea. I mean, but this is going to be so much fun for you and the dancers and other choreographers to work with. The wine and the food. I mean,
yeah, and Chef Adam has been amazing at wanting to collaborate with us from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just us coming in with a preconceived idea of what this is going to be or him coming up with a menu and us responding to it. It's been us sending him ideas mm-hmm. and pieces of music and what about this? And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and
That's
forth
so cool.
until, yeah, we get it going.
That's really cool. Neat.
I can tell you about one of our courses.
Yeah, I know. You got to give me – I know that it's not all set yet as you're still
–
we're recording
closest,
this a little ahead of time, but, you know.
I'm the closest to my own piece, the one that I choreographed. So I'll tell you about that one. It's the second one of the evening, and it is a smoked white fish,
mm-hmm.
black pepper creme fraiche. Rum-soaked tomatoes on bread.
Okay.
And so when we tasted this, we paired it with an Albarino. And it was smoky and salty with a touch of spice. And we started thinking about an undulating undercurrent, sand and grit and mm-hmm. pepper. And now I'm kind of thinking it's Marlene Dietrich meets modern dance. And it's a little bit of a tribute to my grandma, who I lost this year, and her sister, who were a couple of swanky gals back mm-hmm. in the day. And I have a dancer who is 5'9", mm-hmm. and a dancer who is 4'9".
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge difference in their heights. So I've really played with that. And while we've like really gone in the swanky direction, we're also kind of busting up some of the gender roles and embracing a little ambiguity there.
Okay.
So it's a little tango-y, but they're twisting it up. It's really cool.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's
going to
be great.
It's going to taste really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course it will. I mean, that's really cool to you, that you got, you know, Adam and Bluebeard involved.
Yeah.
Of course, with that. So, yeah, so it's going to be, you know, awesome tasting. That's really fun. So, can you give us any hints about any of the other pairings yet?
Or... You want to know about dessert?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one's
you bet
always
I do.
A favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a hazelnut shortbread,
okay.
chocolate ganache, and peanut brittle. And I don't know how to say this the name of the wine. It's from Sicily. It's Pasito de Pantiera.
But okay, so it's an Italian sort of dessert wine.
Italian dessert wine mm-hmm. is what you need to know.
Okay.
And Deborah, mm-hmm. owner of the White Rabbit, is choreographing a piece that's indulgent, layered, expanding, rich, bold, strong. She has this idea of emotional luggage and wanderlust and some like lifelong love letters that are maybe found. So it's going to be really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, as part of the evening, along with, of course, the wine and the food and the dance, there is an auction as well.
There's an amazing silent auction, mm-hmm. and I don't have a lot of details on that quite yet because not everything is in. But if you would like to donate something, please email me directly at heidi@modusdance.com.
Excellent.
We would love to have a partnership with you guys and get your stuff out and seen by all our people.
Yeah, and you get a great crowd for this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people who...
We sell out every year.
Yeah. Yeah, and people who are into dance, people who are, you know, into wine and food, people who are friends.
Into clothes and into jewelry and into hair and into fitness. And it goes all around because our dance fans bring their partners, and their partners are computer people and movie people and all kinds of people. So we run the gamut. Huge, big range of people who love us.
Nice. Tickets are still available right now.
Yep.
Modusdance.com. You can get tickets there. What do tickets run on this?
There is a bunch of different ways that you can buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy exclusive packages that include everything up to a bottle of wine at your table and a picture in the awesome photo booth at the White Cabaret with the dancers and even a parking space.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
That's actually kind of
coveted,
a bonus. Right.
Okay. All the way down to a general admission ticket. The solo is $85 and a pair is $150.
Okay. And that includes the six courses.
That includes everything.
Nice.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. So can you give us a heads up on any other MOTUS performances coming up or
Ruckus
places where we might see?
Ruckus.
Raising a Ruckus.
Ruckus is a one night only. We get as many theater acts, music acts, dance acts all on the stage on one night. And have a great time. It's all about community and promoting each other and sharing audiences and having a great time, really.
Nice.
That's Ruckus. And then we will be doing Maze at the end of the year in November.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably be doing it at the White Rabbit Cabaret in November and then again at the JCC in December. Hopefully.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Looking forward to those as well. But, of course, Pairings is the big event coming up again on April 10th at the White Rabbit. Get your tickets now because it does sell out. And it is a great evening of dance and food.
It's awesome.
What more do you need?
Yeah.
Heidi, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming into Are the Matter.
Thanks so much.
Travis DiNicola with MOTUS Dance's Heidi Keller Phillips. The Pairings event takes place on Friday, April 10th at the White Rabbit Cabaret in Fountain Square. You can get more information at MOTUSDance.com. That's MOTUSDance.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll get a preview of the Jewish Film Festival.
I'll take a look at some upcoming theater taking place at the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site.
And I'll see what I can hear about the musical Tommy at Footlight. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.